News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just finished doing a segment there I called Libs on Parade, and we were walking through the different aspects of wokeism throughout our society. The LGBTQ agenda is rampant right now. It is everywhere. It is right here in Alabama, very much so. And I also talked about, too, the fact that there's been this whole thing about woke in the military and stressing the need to root out extremism, and over 2 million man hours in our U.S. military, shutting down the systems and the training and the opportunities for the military to do what it's supposed to do in order to allegedly root out extremism. And then the article that I just read you shows that they found less than 100 examples of that. I got a caller on this very topic right now. Let me grab line four. Chad from Huntsville. Hey, Chad. Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm good, Phil. It's good to be your Right Side ruffian.
Absolutely. Well, thank you much for that. What's on your mind?
Well, I've heard Casey Wardinsky on your show and some others talk about this wokeness in the military. I believe he was the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Manpower in the Trump administration. So he dealt with all things people, and he talked about how in those transition calls from the Trump administration when Biden was incoming, all those people on Biden's team wanted to talk about were things like gender and identity, and maybe the 30 or 40 people they had identified as extremists. And there was no talk about military cohesion or readiness. It was just all the, checking the boxes on identity politics is really what it was.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, the military is there to protect the national interest, to be expeditionary when necessary, and truthfully to kill people and break things if it requires. And yet we're worried right now about what their pronouns are and do they have mean thoughts. And it boggles the mind.
Yeah, well, and I also heard that now there's a brand new debate where they're not sure if cadets or, military enlisted military should say yes sir. Have to figure out now if yes sir is appropriate to address an officer or a higher ranking official
at the service academies, or are you talking about in the military ranks overall?
I believe in the military ranks overall.
So well, they better not.
That's the next hot topic that we're going to be seeing.
That's going to be a complete breakdown of the good order and discipline of the military. Okay, well, we'll see, I guarantee you there'll be a pushback on that. Plus, I know Casey's running hard, and folks that go to D.C. come the midterm elections, we hope could put a stop to that, and maybe he'll be the one. Chad, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you calling in. Thanks for being a Right Side ruffian. Appreciate you. All right, so listen, speaking of the military, let's transition here. Oh, I shouldn't even use that word. You know what's aggravating, Copper, is when you use words like transition and you feel bad for using it because the libs have so co-opted the word.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. There was a song from World War II, When Johnny Comes Marching Home. When Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah. Anyway, there's one line and it says, we'll all be gay when Johnny comes marching home. Because gay used to mean we'd be very happy.
Mm-mm.
And you don't hear the word used that way anymore.
Nope.
You know what else? This strikes me as unusual. What's the symbology of the LGBTQ community? What do they use?
What do they use? What?
What's their symbology? What is it they use as their symbol?
Oh, the rainbow.
The rainbow. And what is the rainbow? Actually, the origin of the rainbow scripturally is what?
It's the sign of God's promise in the sky.
That's right. The sign of God's promise in the sky. There it is. And yet, somehow or another, that became their symbol. So they've co-opted even that. So they took the word gay, which meant happy, and decided to make it a lifestyle question. And then they've taken the rainbow, which meant God's promise, and turned it into a representation of the LGBTQ community. And it just, anyway. No. Stop the madness. Stop the train. I want off. Okay. All right, folks, let's transition here to, I'm going to use the word anyway, transition, because you know what? Let's save our language. I'm going to transition here to the next thing on the Triple Dipper, Ukraine, what now and what next? Listen, if you haven't been watching the news the last few days, the fact that this is a war does mean that people are killed and things get broken, and that's the nature of war. Now, I will say this. As a soldier who has been to war twice and as the son and grandson of those who have served, I'll just tell you, they have the United States Army, more than any other in the history of the world, does all that it can to mitigate collateral damage. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying we do all that we can to mitigate it. I talked about the fact on this show before that when we go into an open campaign, knowing full well there's a civilian populace, we deal with things like part of the planning has to be dealing with displaced civilians in the battlefield. I was an infantry officer, but I also cross-branched for a period of time to civil affairs, which meant that I had to have training in refugee operations and displaced civilians. I had to know how to deal with civilians in the battlefield space, and I had to know how to become what's known as an enabler or a shaping for the battlefield commander in terms of helping him develop his conditional environment. Because civilians exist in the battlefield, and the United States Army does all that it can to mitigate that collateral damage, not the Russians. The Russians appear to go to war with the sole intent of breaking everything. So when I was in Afghanistan, I remember one time coming in from the field and taking the drive from Bagram Air Base down to Kabul. And I remember being struck by the fact that everywhere I had gone in the northern sectors, the roads always went through the middle of the towns and villages. I mean, you'd be driving along and all of a sudden out of nowhere, boom, there's the mud brick buildings. Sometimes they had real fired brick, they call them. They had to move the goats out of the way. They have the raggedy bazaars and things like that. And I had been out in the sticks, if you will. But the reality is the roads went through the towns. But as I was driving from Bagram down to Kabul, I remember commenting on everything being so far off the road. Like, you could see the towns in the distances, but you didn't touch one. I mean, the road was like independent. Well, it's because the Russians had come in. When the Soviets had invaded Afghanistan, they used Bagram, and they also had the capital of Kabul under their control. And so they went and they scorched the earth between Bagram and Kabul, and they made sure that nothing was in rifle range of the main road that they used when they drove. They razed villages, they destroyed communities, and they made sure that everything had about a 500-meter standoff. The fields of fire were very clear, let's put it that way, between Bagram and Kabul. That's the way they operate. If they came into a village, you could imagine that village was going to wind up being destroyed soon thereafter. The Soviets were hated when I was there, still to the day. I was there when the war broke out in early 2002. The war started in like the latter month and a half of 2001. I got there in early 2002. The Russians left quite a few years before, and they were still vividly in the memories of the people of Afghanistan, and they were despised. Well, think about what we're looking at now. What we're seeing in Ukraine is by some rights being called genocide. We're seeing atrocities like we have not seen in the modern age. We're seeing the kind of atrocities that you imagine were going to happen in third world countries where tribal warfare breaks out. And they, you know, you see things like, if you ever watched the movie Tears of the Sun with Bruce Willis, you know, it was a very real depiction of what's like it with tribal warfare in some portions of Africa. You see these things happening in South American countries. You don't see them happening in first world countries in Europe, where they're going in now, where they've been able to retake territory as the Russians have pulled out, and they're finding literally hundreds, and by the way, the videos and the photos are out there, hundreds of civilians executed in the streets, many of them being found with their hands tied behind their backs, many of them being found with evidence of torture, stories coming out about widespread rapes and other things that are happening that are atrocities upon the people. And it's not because there was a rogue unit or someone who didn't know how to control his troops. It's appearing as if it was the pattern and practice of the Russian troops throughout the regions that they took control of. And as they're pulling back, we're finding the evidence. And right now, I'm going to talk about it more in a few minutes, but right now what we're hearing is that literally this has grown to the point that Zelensky, President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine, literally said to the United Nations today, you must take Russia off the Security Council. They are genocidal. This is a war crime. Two other nations, Spain and one other, I have to look back and see who it was, but have said too that they agree this appears to be attempts at genocide. There's no effort on the part of the Russians to go in and to seize ground. There's an effort right now to level things. That's one of the reasons why I believe that Mariupol in the south, even though there's a fight ongoing and they've not been able to seize Mariupol, when I look back on my experience at seeing what the Soviets did to the roadway between Bagram and Kabul and how they leveled everything that was close to the road, I look at the leveling of Mariupol, realizing that a major highway goes through there that would connect the Donbass region down to the Crimean Peninsula, and I think, you know what? It's the same thing. They are clearing the ground. So they've got a clear road to drive on for their land bridge from the Russian border through the Donbass region and down into Crimean Peninsula. That's what I think is happening. All right, well, Copper, take us to a break. When we come back, folks, I'm going to give you a firm update on where we stand right now in the combat zone. Biggest story, in my opinion, of the decade. Biggest story of the decade, the war in Ukraine. And you might also, if you haven't heard it before, be interested in what it is that an Alabama company is providing to help the Ukrainians put the whooping on the Russians. I'll tell you about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So I am listening. I'm resourcing this show daily, all right? And I'm pulling news sources together, like the section I'm doing right now on Ukraine, what now, what next. And even when I'm pulling in sources, a lot of times that deal with stories that are even bigger than the state of Alabama, one of the places that I go to, and I want to make sure you hear it from me personally, is 1819news.com. That's 1819news.com. So 1819 News, much like Right Side Radio, we are affiliated through the Alabama Policy Institute. Conservative organization has been fighting for conservative policies for 30 years. 1819 News has got a whole bunch of good people working for it, and they are wearing it out right now. I mean, literally. If you need a news source that you can trust, and I don't mean one that just slants everything, conservative or liberal. What I'm saying is they have determined that one of the best things that we could do in this society is to report the news, like calling balls and strikes, good and bad. Republicans do something wrong, let the world know. Democrats, certainly. And I'm just saying 1819 News has become one of the go-to sources for me and for many people around this state. Check them out, 1819news.com, named for the year that Alabama became a state, because this is a group of people also that love Alabama. And that also comes out in their reporting. Not every story on 1819 is going to be just politics or just the news. Sometimes there's going to be stories on there that are solely designed to remind us how great it is to live here. So yeah, check them out. I enjoy them. It's one of the resources I use constantly, 1819news.com. All right, so Copper, I'll tell you what, let's do this. We're on the number two on the triple dipper, Ukraine, what now, what next? War crimes are going on. The combat situation, though, over there is very interesting, as it appears that the Russians have had to completely pivot and move away from their original strategy. In fact, it is being determined right now by General Jack Keane's Institute for the Study of War, which is a great resource you can go to. Their website's called understandingwar.org, and they are a great resource for tracking actual military operations throughout the world, especially Ukraine right now. Well, they assess that the original campaign effort has failed on the part of the Russians, and that they have now pivoted, and they are working in a resupply, refit, and then also trying to move their operations east. Well, General Keane actually talked about that in detail. So let me do this. Copper, clip three, General Jack Keane did an interview on Sky News in Australia and described why he thinks strategic plans by the Russians appear to have shifted to the south. Clip three, Copper, go ahead and play that.
Russia is controlling terrain now, greater than what they did on February the 24th when the invasion began. And any ceasefire or peace agreement now, which would certify that that gain in territory from which the Russians would be able to intimidate and coerce the Ukrainians for sure, and also start up again. And what the Russians are really interested in this second phase, having lost the first phase in the north, is make certain that they gain entire control of the southern coastline. And there's 80 or 90% of Ukraine's resources are in the east, partially under their control right now. And to gain that coastline would shut off all access to the Sea of Azov, and also the Black Sea. That would absolutely devastate Ukraine's economy and also create significant, I believe, political and social divisions likely in the country as a result of it, all in the interest of what Russia is achieving. So despite this significant victory in the north, there is still a possibility of Russia achieving a victory in the south at the expense of the Ukrainians for certain.
All right, so listen, if you could see a map of Ukraine right now, just in your mind at least picture it, just even if all you did was picture a blob, you know, it's kind of got an unusual shape like most borders do, old borders, but the eastern and southern rims painted red. That's what Russia has. Now, a big chunk of that, by the way, they already had. They already had the Crimean Peninsula, which is like, you know, picture the lower portion of Texas, all right, dangling down into Mexico and the Gulf of Mexico. All right, they already had a contested region called the Donbass, which is on the eastern border. And I don't say they already had it like under total control, but they've been there fighting over it now for the last 7 years. 6 years. But listen, they have picked up some additional territories, and what they are trying to do is create that entire, if you will, like reverse half-moon arc around the northern, eastern, and southern side of Ukraine. If they can do that, then they will have added a slight buffer on the Russian border, the Belarusian border, and then also a land bridge from Russia down to the Crimean Peninsula. And by doing that, like the general just said, lock out Ukraine from access to the sea. And I want to say that one of the reports that I read or heard said that somewhere in the neighborhood of 45% of the goods that flow in and out of Ukraine go through the ports on the Black Sea. So you're looking at half their economics coming through that area. Well, that's going to devastate the economy, certainly. Well, the war is already devastating the economy, but you know what I'm saying. More on this to come, though, because when we get back, I want to tell you, there's an Alabama connection to some of what's giving the Ukrainians victory. And then we're going to walk down the status of the war crimes that are brewing right now that I think the world is going to wind up having to galvanize around pretty soon. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Ukraine, what now, what next? We'll talk about it. Stay tuned.
It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, yep, we strive at all times to remain solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, we have team members, we call them, our direct sponsors. ZLA Solutions has been with us since the very beginning. Since this show started 10 months ago, ZLA Solutions has been one of our partners. And ZLA Solutions is literally kicking it right now. They've had their best year ever, and they are putting people back to work like you would not believe. ZLA Solutions, their website is ZLAUSA.com. If you are looking for a job, folks, go to ZLAUSA.com. They've got jobs posted all over Alabama. They told me the other day they had jobs posted at $20 an hour, a lot of them with benefits. But at the same time, if you're an employer and you need to fill out the ranks of your workforce, then listen, ZLAUSA.com. Start the relationship with ZLA. They will do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if necessary. They will do all the things necessary to staff you out. Their bread and butter is staffing, temporary or direct hire full-time. They will find you the people you need. Their job is to make your business better. They'll do all the stuff it takes, and ZLA Solutions is who they are. Check out their website, ZLAUSA.com. All right, I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, Ukraine, what now and what next? So I'm looking at the understandingwar.org, the Institute for War's website. Several assessments of the combat situation are, number one, that Russian forces continue to make little to no progress in their frontal assaults to capture Donetsk and Luhansk, and that's the portions that they've been fighting over for years. But Russian forces are indeed advancing from Kharkiv, which I believe is in the north, and setting conditions to resume other offensive operations, they say. They're trying to encircle the Ukrainian defenders in the Donbass, which is the eastern portion. They also say, too, that degraded Russian forces in the northeastern parts of Ukraine continue to withdraw and are unlikely to be effective elsewhere, and it's been assessed to be a very ineffective withdrawal, a rather disorderly withdrawal, if you will. Rather than being a withdrawal in which they set the conditions for the withdrawal by fire, withdrawal with cover, they're not doing that very well. And some units are becoming isolated. We are hearing reports right now that certain Russian units have become isolated in the withdrawal, cut off from the rest of the main body, and are being just slammed by Ukrainian forces who are dogging them in the midst of the withdrawal. We're also hearing assessment, or a key takeaway here by the ISG, the Institute for the Study of War, is that efforts by Russian forces to capture certain portions of the country are unlikely to be successful in the coming days. It kind of concerns you what they're going to do next. And the defenders of Mariupol, which has been slammed down in the southeastern part of the country, the defenders of Mariupol have far and away outperformed what anybody's estimates were originally, and that Russian forces are likely taking heavy casualties in their efforts to capture that city. And Ukrainian forces, it says, too, have also conducted successful counterattacks in and around Kherson, which is the only major municipality that the Russians have been able to take. That's on the direct southern side, a port city near Odessa called Kherson. Anyway, what we're saying and what I'm seeing here is the Russians are doing a horrible job. Horrible. Meanwhile, though, the Russians do hold some ground they didn't hold before. And in the midst of doing this, what we're discovering now, the video and the audio and the photographic evidence coming out now is just devastating. It is shocking the world. It's not like we haven't seen tragedy around the world before. Finding mass graves in Europe is not something we expect. This is not the hidden nation where, you know, behind closed doors, so to speak, they have conducted tragic circumstances upon the people of No, this is one major first world country invading another with no provocation and conducting massive attacks against civilians. And we're not just talking about they were killed in a bombing. What we're seeing right now is absolutely not on par with anything that we've seen in recent history. As they're finding bodies on the streets of places like Bucha, where their hands are tied behind their backs, and you can tell from the bloodstains on the street that they were executed, you know, shot in the head. That numbers of people, we're hearing stories of beheadings. We're hearing stories of, well, I'll tell you what, let's do this. Copper, clip two. Let's go ahead and get clip two ready. Yeah, you got it? Okay, good. Clip two is a guy named Burt Bryant. He's the director of a organization called HARP, which stands for the Humanitarian and Resource Project, I believe it is. Anyway, they are working hard to get kids out of the combat zone, and he gives a firsthand account of what it was like to see the devastation in Bucha, which is to the west of Kyiv. Copper, go ahead and play clip two.
Let's bring in Burke Bryant. We've had him on before. You know him as the president and CEO of the Humanitarian Aid and Rescue Project. His experience over in Ukraine has now gone to another level, visiting Bucha. Burke, how do you even begin to describe what you saw?
Well, the first thing I want to say is Putin is a war criminal, plain and simple. It's no longer being hidden. It's right in front of our faces over here. Bucha, my team has never seen anything like this. There wasn't a single residential home, building, commercial building that hadn't been shelled or bombed. It was as if they drove down the streets and took fire at everything. The cars, You could see where the snipers were sitting in the buildings up high and shooting at people below. We talked to a group of elderly people who had taken shelter in a basement, but they had to go back and forth occasionally for food inside their homes. The Russians invaded their homes, blew the doors off, took everything, you know, that they felt wanted or needed, and then executed those people. It didn't matter if they were 14 or 65, they were ended by this group of people.
Wow.
Very, very sad. And it's also very hard to move through that city right now because on top of that, they mined things. So even a simple tree that had fallen down in the road or had been cut down and put in the road is mined. You lift the tree up, the mine goes off. So there's a lot of problems still currently going on there. I know there's still infiltration taking place with some of the assassination teams, we'll call them. They're still trying to get intel and logistics on those areas, and they're still making small strikes against some of the local Ukrainian military.
What are people in...
Well, let's stop it right there. So you're hearing a firsthand report from an aid worker who, by the way, is a military veteran himself. So he's not somebody who's a shrinking violet who can't understand violence. He knows violence when he sees it. And he's giving you a firsthand account of the devastation. And if you're watching the videos that are coming out now, I hope you're seeing, and I know some of you may find them hard to look at, but these videos almost have to be seen because the world has to recognize that what is happening is well beyond force-on-force combat. This is an attack on the civilian populace. This is something that orderly nations don't do. Collateral damage is one thing. Intentional infliction of, you know, such tragedy upon the civilian populace is designed solely for the purpose of destroying the will of a people and leaving them with nothing. Well, I do want you to know, though, one of the things that really strikes me as being interesting is that, you know, there's a lot of reasons why the Ukrainians are prevailing. They don't have everything they need yet, but what they have, they've been using to great effect. Now, they've got a will that is indomitable, apparently. They've got a desire to fight for their own homes. They're on their home turf right now. And so that's the driving force. The spirit of the Ukrainian people is really probably, if nothing else, the sole source of their victories on the battlefield. But the means by which they are achieving those victories, you know, physically, are coming through things that we're providing from the United States. So javelins and Stinger missiles. Javelins and Stingers, javelins being a ground attack to take out armored vehicles. Stingers designed to take out, air assets, usually low-flying. Both of those are fire-and-forget weapons, but they are good weapons, and they're using them to great effect. Well, you might want to know, story off of NewsNationNow.com, dated just a few days ago. It's a repeat story that we also reported off of Yellowhammer News here earlier this past month. But Javelin missiles being used by the Ukrainian army are being made right here in Troy, Alabama. In fact, I saw a picture the other day, and if you enlarge the picture, you could see the stamp that said Troy, Alabama on the side of Javelin missiles that are arriving in there. Resident Thomas McConnell, it says in this particular article, has lived in Troy, 50 miles south of Alabama's state capital, for the past 5 years, was not even aware that the missiles were being produced there. He said, I didn't know that was being produced there at the Lockheed Martin plant. But that's kind of cool. He says, Javelin missiles, we didn't know we were making those here. But they are. And that has caught the attention of several. And so I just want to point out to you guys that as the Ukrainians are doing all they can do right now and getting some assistance from the United States and other NATO nations, that right here in Alabama, we're producing one of the weapons that is having the most lethal effect on Russian invaders. All right, Copper, take us to a break. We come back, I'm going to continue this trend. I'm going to talk about the fact that many assess that war crimes are actually Russia's way of doing war, that they see destroying the civilian populace as just part of the plan. There's a lot of indication that what we're seeing, these war crimes that I'm talking about, they are not just a rogue unit that got out of hand, but they are actually part of the plan. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We are in a section right now I'm calling Ukraine, What Now, What Next. It's a recurring segment because I do believe this is the biggest story of the decade. What is happening in Europe is going to have ramifications around the world, already is, really. We're seeing it in Bidenomics. We're seeing it in the inflation rates. We're seeing it in gas prices. And we're certainly seeing it in the possibilities of deploying U.S. troops at the very least to shore up NATO nations with the hope that we're not going to wind up putting them on Ukrainian soil. Got a caller on line five, held on during the break. Let me grab that real quick. Line five, Kenny from Huntsville. Kenny, how you doing today, man? Copper, did I lose Kenny?
I'm afraid so.
Oh, man. What was he calling about? He was calling about the issue, the Ukraine issue, wasn't he?
Yes, he was, but he didn't give more specifics than that.
Okay, well, if he calls back in, put him on. We only got a few minutes. Kenny, if you're listening, call back, brother. So, Copper, let's do this. Clip four. Yeah, clip four is General Jack Keane again. Y'all could tell I'm a fan of General Keane, but his assessments are usually incredible. We're talking about war crimes being the Russian way of war. So I want to play that clip right now. When we get back, I'm going to tell you about some of the intel that we're seeing and the use of intel, which has become very unusual. So, clip four, General Jack Keane, war crimes being Russia's way of war. Go ahead and play it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I felt that actually before the evidence of the war crimes became evident, when it was obvious that the Ukrainians had the capacity to stop the Russians. Now we believe they actually have the capacity to drive the Russians out. And listen, let's make no mistake about what is really going on here with these atrocities and war crimes. This is the Russian way of war. This is not some lack of discipline on a part of soldiers or junior leaders down at the very tactical level. This is something the Russians have done in World War II to Germany, certainly, and certainly Germany had committed significant atrocities to them. But these atrocities also showed up in Georgia in 2008, obviously prior to that in Grozny in 2000, and significantly in Syria when they did carpet bombing of entire neighborhoods and towns and villages where there was no enemy present. So what is going on here with this massacre in Bucha? That's...
All right, so what he's saying there is, literally, that this is the Russian way of war. Now listen, in the U.S., I told you before, and you know it. I mean, those of you who have served, but you don't even have to serve to imagine this is not the way the United States does business. This is not something that we would ever allow. In fact, I'll tell you right now, we actually put our people on trial when they get outside the rules of engagement. And by the way, there are times when that happens, and I'm thinking, stop the madness. Pull the rules of engagement and allow those people to work. But I see it, Copper. I thought it kind of cut off in mid-sentence, but that's okay. Don't worry about it. We're good to go right now. You can go ahead and skip the rest of that clip. He made his point. But the thing is, I'm saying, is in the United States, and in a minute I'll talk about it, in the United States, we put our people on trial when we find evidence of things that the Russians consider to be standard pattern and practice. And I'll go ahead and refresh your memory. The My Lai Massacre, 1968, Vietnam. Think about it. This is the kind of thing that what we're seeing done by the Russians right now, without the same level of provocation. Now, there was evidence that the U.S. troops who participated in what became known as the My Lai Massacre, and I'll talk about it in more detail later, but that literally were on edge, had been in combat nonstop, and had been witnessing atrocities committed on their own, and then just got out of hand as a situation just developed in front of them, and it went horribly awry. People went to jail. There were court martials. In Russia, they plan for it. They take into account the idea of conducting atrocities in order to break the will of the people of the combat zone. It's an amazing disparity in the way we do things and the way they do things. I'm going to keep this train going. You want to call in 866-494-9866. We've talked about a lot of things. You want to jump back to the original topics? Libs on parade? I'll take those calls. How do you feel about the fact that there's an LGBTQ school? Like, it's designed for gay kids. How do you feel about Ukraine and the fact that we have evidence of war crimes? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.